Tesla unveils the Cybertruck, its first electric pickup truck.
Pickup trucks are a hugely lucrative part of the business.
And Bridgewater's big bet against the market.
It's another sign, perhaps, of nervousness generally in the markets about a stock rally, particularly in the US, that has gone on fairly consistently for over 10 years now.
Plus, a merger that could reshape how we trade stocks. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a look at the highlights and bloopers from the launch of Tesla's first ever pickup truck, here's what you missed. Charles Schwab is in talks to buy TD Ameritrade. Both of those names might ring a bell for you. They're the leaders in what's known as the discount brokerage market. That's a place you can go if you personally want to buy or sell stocks. We report the companies have held on and off talks for months and that there's still no guarantee that they'll reach a deal. But if they do, it would likely value TD Ameritrade at around its current market value. That's $26 billion. Both firms have been under pressure. They recently announced that they'd eliminate commissions for online stock trades. The question is if this merger would raise the interest of regulators. Schwab is currently the number one in the market, and TD Ameritrade is number two. That's what it sounded like in Bogota, Colombia's capital, after mostly peaceful protests turned violent yesterday. Tens of thousands of people walked through the streets of Bogota and other cities in Colombia. They were calling for a crackdown on government corruption, higher wages, and increased government spending on education. Many of the protesters were also upset with conservative President Iván Duque. The protests in Colombia are part of a wave of anti-government protests that have swept through Latin America, in Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Peru. WeWork is cutting around 17% of its workforce, or 2,400 jobs, after its botched initial public offering. This is all in an attempt to stop mounting losses, which topped $1 billion in the last quarter. We reported that the layoffs were initially delayed from taking place earlier this month because WeWork couldn't afford the severance costs. In September, WeWork co-founder Adam Neumann was forced out as chairman and CEO of the company. His exit package included a $185 million consulting fee, a $500 million loan, and it allows him to sell nearly $1 billion in stock. Now, our main story this morning, Tesla. It unveiled its first ever pickup truck, they've called it the Cybertruck, at a glitzy event in Los Angeles last night. As ever with Tesla, the event was filled with surprises, including this moment when a demonstration on the, quote, shatterproof glass in the Cybertruck's windows went awry. Apologies, there's a bit of foul language that we've bleeped out.
Franz, could you try to break this glass, please? Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, maybe that was a little too hard.
Shattered windows aside, the launch of the Cybertruck is Tesla's biggest attempt yet to take on Detroit's Big Three and their profit center. Robert Wall is our technology editor. So, Robert, let's start with the basics. This is a podcast, so describe for us what the truck actually looks like. It's pretty crazy looking.
It's an odd looking design. I mean, he always said it was going to be. It likened it kind of to a Blade Runner type scenario, a world where you might see it. And, it's very triangular. Tesla kind of suggested it was evoking the fabled F-117 stealth fighter, very cornered. It's very metallic. It looks very different than a typical pickup. And that's a point he was kind of hammering on about. All the other competitors look kind of the same. He was going to look different.
And why does Tesla want to introduce a pickup truck?
Well, I mean, there's actually a couple of reasons. One, there's just the straight business reason. Pickup trucks are a hugely lucrative part of the business for car makers in general, and he needs to be in that business. He's trying to turn Tesla from a niche automaker into a company that has products along the line. And if you want to do that, you want to be in the business that's not just lucrative, but also is growing. So pickup trucks are a place he kind of needs to be.
Maybe it's just me, but it seems almost like an oxymoron or just an odd idea, an electric pickup truck. Is there demand for it?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, we'll see. But obviously, he's not the only one betting on this. Rivian is a startup based in Detroit that's working on a pickup too. Now the incumbents are looking at this, and it's probably they're looking at it probably not just as a defensive response to Elon, but because they see a market there. And you also have to remember there are some benefits. I mean, the electric cars, you have the issue of the power and having to charge them, but they actually have a lot of performance benefits, a lot of torque. You can probably haul quite a bit. And as he kind of touted, his vehicle would not just be able to carry a load of stuff, it could also go really quickly.
So if you're interested in buying one, when will these Cybertrucks actually go on sale?
In typical Tesla fashion, they're quite vague about when things will happen. Basically, it sounds like the vehicle is at least 2 years away. So they're going to introduce three versions. They've told the customers, you can put a deposit down now, it's fully refundable. And then in about 2 years' time, late 2021, they say you can kind of lock the configuration. And they use this phrase, as the vehicle is nearing production. So they're not actually saying they'll start producing them in late 2021, but I guess on about then is when they will start seeing them on the assembly line. Now, the high-end version, which is kind of the really nifty one, it's got three motors, which is, of course, unusual. That's not going to be in production until late 2022. So, people do have to have some patience here. And of course, it gives the other guys some opportunity to have something in the market, at least at the same time as Tesla does, maybe even earlier.
You can find all of our Tesla coverage up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Bridgewater is the world's biggest hedge fund, and we're exclusively reporting today that it's made a very big bet that markets around the world will fall. And not just that they'll fall, but that they'll do so by March 2020. Paul Davies explains what's behind their position.
So we've seen this huge bearish-looking bet from Bridgewater, the $150 billion hedge fund, the fund that's run by Ray Dalio. It's known for its culture of radical transparency, whereby everyone's performance and decision-making gets to be examined by everybody else. Ironically, from outside, it's impossible to know what it's up to, what it's doing. It keeps everything very secret. What we do know is that it's spent about $1.5 billion on these put options that will pay out if the S&P 500 and or the Euro Stoxx 50 decline by next March. So the only thing that Bridgewater has told us about this bet for the story is that you can't possibly read anything into it. I mean, it will combine with other trades that they have in all kinds of clever ways, probably, that, like I say, is impossible to see from outside. But what we can say about it is it's another sign, perhaps, of nervousness generally in the markets about a stock rally, particularly in the US, that has gone on fairly consistently for over 10 years now. And there's a bit more nervousness about what that means where we are now.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. President Trump is set to meet with vaping industry and medical officials today. We reported yesterday that the New York City Council is expected to approve a ban next week on the sale of nearly all flavored e-cigarettes and liquids. It comes after Massachusetts passed legislation this week that looks to limit the sale of flavored tobacco. We're just under a week away from Thanksgiving, which means you might be thinking about your Christmas shopping and those Black Friday or Cyber Monday deals. But our numbers columnist Joe McGinty says, buyer beware.
Some shopping websites use misleading tactics designed specifically to get consumers to buy goods they otherwise would not.
How? Joe says it has to do with something called dark patterns.
Dark patterns are different devices you find on websites that exploit shoppers' emotions, insecurities, and biases, and they have the effect of getting the shoppers essentially to make impulse purchases. Some of the ploys are limited time offers that never truly end, fake notifications that suggest a product is nearly sold out, timers that urge shoppers to complete a purchase before the selection expires. There's something called confirm shaming, where you're given a choice, but it's a choice you wouldn't want to click on, like, no thanks, I prefer to pay high prices. And by the way, I do want to say that some of these things are legitimate, but some are manufactured. They're not representing real information.
Earlier this year, lawmakers introduced legislation that would ban large online platforms from using these tactics. Finally, we're going to continue with our weekly Friday series looking at what's happened in the 2020 presidential race this week. This time, we're going to focus on South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. From Chicago, John McCormick has more.
So he's seen a real uptick recently in both Iowa and New Hampshire. Sort of one of the gold standard polls in Iowa came out over this past weekend, and he had a clear lead there with 25% of the vote of likely caucus goers. Another poll came out later in the week in New Hampshire that also showed him essentially in first place there. And so he's having a good moment right now. It's unclear whether that's sustainable. The Iowa caucuses are still, you know, more than 2 months away. So in Iowa, there's a saying about you want to organize, 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 and get hot at the end. And, it's an open question whether Mayor Pete Buttigieg is getting hot a little too early or whether he'll be able to sustain this sort of lead for a couple more months.
Every Friday, we'll have an update as part of our Election 2020 series. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.